yet we are the ones who support it. In the same vein, what are we to make of the observation of a senior nurse of my acquaintance with a lifetime's experience in running a home for old people where death is a regular occurrence? She has noticed over the years that the individuals who are most afraid of death are the religious ones. Her observation would need to be substantiated statistically, but assuming she is right, what is going on here? Whatever it is, it doesn't, on the face of it, speak strongly of religion's power to comfort the dying. In the case of Catholics, maybe they're afraid of purgatory. The saintly Cardinal Hume said farewell to a friend in these words, "Well, goodbye then. See you in purgatory, I suppose." What I suppose is that there was a sceptical twinkle in those kind old eyes. An Australian friend coined a wonderful phrase to describe the tendency for religiosity to increase in old age. Say it with an Australian intonation, going up at the end like a question. Cramming for the final?
The doctrine of purgatory offers a preposterous revelation of the way the theological mind works. Purgatory is a sort of divine Ellis Island, a Hadean waiting room where dead souls go if their sins aren't bad enough to send them to hell, but they still need a bit of remedial checking out and purifying before they can be admitted to the sin-free zone of heaven. In medieval times, the church used to sell indulgences for money. This amounted to paying for some number of days' remission from purgatory, and the church literally, and with breathtaking presumption, issued signed certificates specifying the number of days off that had been purchased. The Roman Catholic Church is an institution for whose gains the phrase ill-gotten might have been specially invented. And of all its money-making rip-offs, the selling of indulgences must surely rank among the greatest con tricks in history, the medieval equivalent of the Nigerian internet scam, but far more successful.
As recently as 1903, Pope Pius X was still able to tabulate the number of days remission from purgatory that each rank in the hierarchy was entitled to grant. Cardinals 200 days, archbishops 100 days, bishops a mere 50 days. By his time, however, indulgences were no longer sold directly for money. Even in the Middle Ages, money was not the only currency in which you could buy parole from purgatory. You could pay in prayers too, either your own before death or the prayers of others on your behalf after your death. And money could buy prayers. If you were rich, you could lay down provision for your soul in perpetuity. My own Oxford College, New College, was founded in 1379, it was new then, by one of that century's great philanthropists, William of Wykeham, Bishop of Winchester. A medieval bishop could become the Bill Gates of the age, controlling the equivalent of the information highway to God, and amassing huge riches. His diocese was exceptionally large, and Wykeham used his wealth and influence to found two great educational establishments, one in Winchester and one in Oxford. Education was important to Wykeham, but in the words of the official New College History, published in 1979 to mark the sixth centenary, the fundamental purpose of the college was,
"as a great chantry to make intercession for the repose of his soul." He provided for the service of the chapel by 10 chaplains, 3 clerks, and 16 choristers, and he ordered that they alone were to be retained if the college's income failed.
Wykeham left New College in the hands of the Fellowship, a self-electing body which has been continuously in existence, like a single organism, for more than 600 years. Presumably he trusted us to continue to pray for his soul through the centuries. Today the college has only one chaplain and no clerks, and the steady, century-by-century torrent of prayers for Wykeham in purgatory